I welcome all persons who are viewing this to the Monday, June 8th, 2020 regularly scheduled meeting of the Gibraltar Area School Board. This board meets on the second and fourth Monday of every month. We're very pleased if there are guests who are joining us. This is an open meeting in the concept that guests are able to comment on each agenda item at the time of the agenda item, or they can comment in the open discussion at the beginning of the meeting. We will pause to watch for your comments through the chat, Mrs. Van Meer.
Yes, we will.
We'll begin with a roll call, and I'll just call it off. Lauren?
Bremer here.
Don?
Helm here.
Linnea? Not yet. Mike?
Mike here.
Angela?
Sherman here.
Mark? Not yet. And Cypher is present. At this point, Mrs. Van Meer, how many guests do we have?
21.
Thank you. The second item on our agenda this evening is to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting of May 26th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Sherman, second by Piatt, to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting of May 26th. Are there any amendments or changes suggested to those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of the approval, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion to approve minutes passes.
Dr. Cypher, just so you know, Mr. Weborg is here.
Good evening, Mark.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late.
We're glad to hear you, even though I cannot see you on my screen. I'm very pleased to hear you.
Internet problems in Northern Door County.
Yep.
We don't know anything about that.
we'll hear a communal yep.
Yeah.
Board correspondence since our last meeting. I received and forwarded on communications from CJ and Mike Neal, Britt Maltby, Anna Knapp, Amy Carrier, Kathleen Turner, Mark Savard, Lynn Herman, Carla Marr, Brooke Peterson, Chelsea Roberts, and Denise and Greg Stillman. Were there any other communications received?
I received communication from Kelsey Wettig regarding the assistant principal position on the agenda tonight.
I'd also like to remind us that we received a correspondence from Shane Harvey, Gina Thomas, and Christina Hubing too late for our last meeting.
Thank you for that reminder.
And then I also, there was correspondence from Fawn Fitzgerald and Denise Stillman to the board, and I received a phone call from Amanda Minnerman regarding the assistant principal agenda item.
Dr. Cypher, as part of our record collection, we should be forwarding all of those messages to me, please. I have Brooke Peterson's, Chelsea Roberts, Anna Knapp, Lynn Herman, Britt Maltby, Kathleen Harris, CJ, and Mike Neal. Those are the ones I actually have copies of.
I recognize those. Thank you.
Thank you.
The rest of us will forward to Mrs. Van Meer as soon as we're able to after this meeting.
I would also like to point out that I have not received some of the names on that list. I think that my prior email address for Gibraltar creates some confusion. I often get emails saying that the email they sent was fired back because of the old emails. This is my third Gibraltar email now, so I don't know if there's a way around that, but if someone could double check in communication.
Mr. Moore, if he can do something with that.
Yep.
If you want to just email me, Lauren, any of the ones that you heard me speak about that you didn't have, I'll be happy to send those to you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Bremer, is your email address on the district website under school board your appropriate email address?
I believe so. I haven't checked, but I think the issue is more of an autofill issue. So anyone who's emailed me in the past, when my name comes up, it's still in the system. Mr. Moore tells me he can't delete my old email for record keeping purposes.
Right. Oh, yep. That's right.
The email connected to my school board page, I think, is correct. I can double check, though.
Good. Thank you.
I wonder if Mr. Moore could forward all those other email addresses to your current email so they came seamlessly.
I will ask him that as well.
I know my company's done that. We've changed our .com designation, so to speak, several times. So I have like four email addresses. They all end up in the same place.
Good. Mrs. Sherman?
Yes, I would just like to ask then what, if we would like to designate like the board president to be the person that looks at emails that have multiple email addresses to forward them on to Mrs. Van Meer or to confirm that all board members have received them. I try to keep up on that, but I don't always catch them. But I wonder if it would behoove us to have one person in charge of doing those things so that we're not all seven of us sending the emails to Tina. I mean, better seven times than never. I'm a firm believer in that kind of a thing, but I'm just wondering if we would be better to have someone do that, if you would like me as the secretary or as our clerk, excuse me, as our board clerk to do so. I will. If you would prefer to do it as the board president, I will leave it to you. But
every mail that I receive that is broadcast to all of us or to me solely, I always respond with a thank you for mail to the school board. Those that I receive, I forward on to Mrs. Van Meer. I think that each of us may be receiving some mail addressed to us singularly that we're then called upon either to share or give to Mrs. Van Meer for distribution after the fact. So to answer your question, Mrs. Sherman, I will forward everything that is broadcast to the board as a whole to Mrs. Van Meer. If you have items that are mailed to you and to each other board member individually, please distribute those and contact Mrs. Van Meer.
Wonderful. And Mrs. Hickey has joined us.
Yes. I was having a little trouble there.
Let me think about that. It's internet in Door County.
That could be. That certainly could be.
That works for the rest of us. Let us move from communication then to open discussion. We'll begin by asking board members for their things they'd like to share in open discussion this evening.
I would.
I have three things I'd like to share in open discussion. One is congratulations to the class of 2020. All those that were involved in the school graduation, as well as the drive-in graduation. It was very well done and received. So
yes.
Thank you to everyone. And secondly, I think we should have on our future agenda the continuing discussion on possible scenarios for restarting the school in the fall. Probably coming up with plan A, plan B, plan C, and maybe plan D, as WIAA is now going to schedule for fall sports. We're going to have to do some planning on what we can or can't do. And the third one, I forgot what it was. I'll come back to it after someone else speaks.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver. To your point, and without making this an agenda item, which it should not be in open discussion, the Student Learning Committee will meet next week. And it, with the administrative team who are members of this committee, will begin the conversation about what are the options and what does reopening look like. And they'll be making conversations with other committees, and the board will be engaging probably beginning on the 22nd with preliminary discussions of this time. Other board members, open discussion.
I will ditto Mark Weberg on what a great job by a lot of people on high school graduation. I thought it was certainly unforgettable, memorable by all parties. So it was very well done. Both, and also the drive-in, both scenarios.
I remembered the other item. Is there a possibility to start talking about meeting in person again?
Yes. And that conversation, again, not an agenda item, but that conversation will be regarding meeting in person following the closure, the end of our closure on June 30th.
I'd like to piggyback on that question because that leads me to the other piece of the governor's order that closed our building on June 30th, which is our year-round employees returning to the building and what that plan might look like if we open our building, if our building remains closed prior to the beginning of the school year. And I think those all fall in the same category of discussion. So I just wanted to make that was one of my open discussion items I wanted included. And I think that piggybacks well with Mark's about those discussions of when our building is allowed to be reopened at this point.
Other comments?
I would also like to thank and commend Mrs. Van Meer, Dr. Mettner, Mrs. Roberts, and Mrs. Grenchek on the virtual senior banquet.
Yes.
For all of those that have attended that event in the past, it is no small undertaking, and it's a beautiful representation of our community's support. And to take it virtual was a big responsibility and a big undertaking, and it came off beautifully. And I thank them for their efforts on that.
As you called out names, Dr. Mettner, I thank you very much for your leadership of the high school through our graduation.
Mm-hmm.
It was evident that you were very personally engaged with all of our seniors, all of our graduates and families, and your role in the virtual graduation was excellent. Thank you for that. The speakers did a great job, really enjoyed the speeches. And to Maestro Charlie Eckhart.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't
awesome.
That?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was the word's been used, memorable. Any other board comments for opening open discussion?
I want to second all of that and say that I look forward to hearing the continued accomplishments of our newest former students. The awards presentation as well as the graduation virtual ceremony were just really, really heartwarming to watch. And I teared up quite a few times watching both of them and hearing about our students and just how wonderful they are. And I just look forward to hearing how they continue as they move forward in their lives. I have two things that I would like to discuss. One of them, and Tina, if I'm beating you to it, please stop me and I will let you do it. But we received an email with congratulations for our staff members of their years of service. Were
yes,
you going to?
Yes.
You're going to. I'm going to let Tina take that one then.
No,
if you
wanted to know more about it.
No, I wanted to congratulate them. Oh. I know that we normally have an end of year
yes.
gathering for them where we get to really showcase them. And I thought maybe we could just take the couple minutes to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, actually what I was going to do is a little bit different. I plan on having that in-person recognition at the beginning of the school year. Normally it's done at the end of the year, but given our circumstances, I want to move it to the beginning of the year. I really like that personal interaction with them. And my hope is that they're all going to be in the building. And we'll be able to do that. It's just an important thing. And if we can do it in person, I would rather do that. So
wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, I will say that, but I will say congratulations to any of them listening.
Yeah.
I am truly impressed and grateful to see staff members with such high amounts of years of service to our district.
Yes, this has been a really unusual incredible year. There's a lot of years of service there, so that's exciting. Right?
And then I will leave with my last one, and please pardon me while I read it. If you notice, I otherwise get off on tangents. So in light of the current events, I would like to request a report from the administration about what actions our school takes to combat racism and what curriculum we are teaching to each grade level to help bring awareness of Black and Native American histories, as well as any other cultural education opportunities. I know that we do some things within our district, but I would appreciate it can really highlight what those things are and assess and evaluate if more things are needed to help combat the current climate that we can see is evident within our nation.
Thank you, Mrs. Sherman. Mrs. Van Meer, what do we have any chat in on open discussion?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Then let us move to item number 5 on our agenda. Committee reports. Mrs. Sherman, will you begin with the policy committee, please?
I would love to. The policy committee has been working on three groups of policies. We have two of those will be ready to bring to the board. One of them was grading. We wanted to clean those up. We noticed with the with our needing to waive those that we wanted to make sure those were set correctly to our current practices. So you will see those coming up as well as job-related expenses. We have tackled those, and we will continue to tackle our student fundraising, field trips, and another group of updates as well, or policies as well, as we will have more NEOLA updates coming along. And our next meeting... Our next meeting is next Monday at 5 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Mr. Helm, would you report on financial planning, please?
Yes, thank you. Financial planning met this afternoon. We began our meeting with a presentation by Mr. Moore to move K through 12 to one device per student technology program with a 4-year plan to fully implement our program to revise new devices in kindergarten, which consist of iPads, third grade and sixth grade, which would be Chromebooks, and ninth grade laptops. There'll be a $60 per year maintenance fee for grades 9 through 12 and a $20 per year rental fee for grades K through 8. And fees may be waived or reduced for students on free and reduced lunch. And we will be presenting a program and a first year purchase recommendation to the board. We also had a discussion on potential salary increases. Unfortunately, we're not at a point now where we can make a decision on this item. There's also discussion about the impact of potential loss of state aid. At this time, we don't know exactly what those losses will be from the state aid, but the most impactful loss to our district, we do know, will be in categorical funds and will likely be in the 2020-21 school year. We also reviewed the cost savings of campus closings. Some of the savings areas were fuel for the buses, obviously, substitutes, travel both for students and staff, and budgets not being used for spring activities. We will be refunding fees for programs or activities that we weren't able to be completed, and our monthly budget report will have more details of these savings. We're now that the program has been complete with this district lunch delivery program, we hope to get those numbers in and see what the impact on that was. We also had this brief discussion regarding zero-based budgeting. And since the 2021 school year is going to be very different for budgeting, we will continue to work with all of the departments to anticipate costs for proactive planning for future budgets. And our next steps will be to have a joint meeting with the maintenance committee regarding the costs associated with reopening our building.
Thank you, Mr. Helm. Any board member questions about these two committee reports? Mrs. Van Meer, any chat on the committee reports?
I'm just thanking Angela for her previous recommendation, which I would ask her to email to me, please. I started writing, but I don't know that I have everything. So if you, thank you.
Thank you. Then let's move to item number 6, discuss and take possible action on staff and community surveys by school perceptions.
Thank you.
Mrs. Van Meer?
Yes, we have a guest with us. Sue Peterson is here from School Perceptions, and she's attending the meeting tonight to discuss a proposal to conduct a staff survey in the fall. She's also going to share with the board a proposal to conduct a community survey. That'll take a few steps in order to put that together. The district is interested in conducting these surveys to gather more input from parents, staff, and the community regarding our school district. So, Sue, are you there?
I am. Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, and I'm just burning you up
perfect,
a little.
Perfect. All right. So I just will talk briefly before I take over your screen about the staff survey. So those of you that were on the board a few years ago when I actually traveled to your district to share the results, but the staff survey that School Perception does, we've got a normed survey that we conduct all over the country that really asks for your employees to give feedback on their engagement across 13 really indexes of employee engagement specific to schools. So it used to be 12. We've added a 13th index on equity this year. Yeah. And that allows you then to look at that data by work group as well as by building, and we do some comparative data so that you can contextualize it. So the process really quite similar to what we did in the past. Because we've done the previous survey with you, we would be able to provide longitudinal data to say, here's where you were a few years ago, and here's what your data looks like now. So you'd be able to measure growth, as well as if there's any other changes in the data statistically since the last time it was conducted. So I'll just pause right there and ask if there's any questions regarding the staff engagement survey, and then I'll jump into the other thing Tina and I talked about, which was the community survey.
Am I reading correctly, Ms. Peterson, that on this proposal, on a page in the packet you sent, the price of a staff survey is $1,450.
Correct. And then if you go to the next page, there would be the reports. So in addition to conducting the survey, which would give you access to results data on the portal, but you would likely want to purchase those reports that would include that overall report and that percentile where we would compare you or allow you to contextualize your data as well as the longitudinal data. So I'd want you to just to factor and be aware of those report costs as well.
And Mrs. Van Meer, what are your thoughts with regard to these other items, 1 through 7, of other services available for this survey?
I would like to see a longitudinal study. Since we did do this 3 years ago, Sue? Was it three?
Yep, I'm just looking, 2017.
Yeah. I would like to just see a comparison between where we were 3 years ago and where we are now. What have we made some growth in? What would be some of our next edges of growth to plan moving forward? I think that would be very helpful.
So you would want the survey design, the survey administration, and the online results access? Is that what we're talking about?
I think, are you looking at the staff survey attachment?
Well, maybe I scrolled.
That's the next one. So.
Oh, I scrolled too far. Okay,
yep,
I'm sorry.
The $1,450 for the conducting the survey.
Right.
And then my recommendation would be numbers 2, 3, and 4. So that overall big picture report and then that percentile ranking and longitudinal. Now, if you remember last time, I actually came and visited with you. So there was a cost for my coming to visit and present the results. Certainly, if that was the case again, now that we're all geniuses at using Zoom, we could work something out so that I could present remotely if you would desire that at that time. And you certainly do not need to make that decision now. We can make that post-survey.
Mrs. Van Meer, in the 3 year ago survey, staff members also made comments. There was an open box, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So we'd be looking at, are we then looking at number five, a comment report?
That's fine with me. Whatever the board would like to see.
How else would we receive those if not through a report?
Right.
Mrs. Van Meer, are you looking for nods on these additional services this evening?
Well, I don't know. I mean, could you, if you're making a motion to approve, could you include those in your motion or? So they're official?
Certainly could.
Or you could do the, I'll write down. If you want to do the nods, I can just circle the ones that I would be adding.
Perhaps other board members want to comment upon reports they are recommending.
I was involved in the last survey, and I would certainly want everything we got last time. As far as Sue coming to present the results, I'm not so sure that's necessary. Now that we're all familiar with Zoom, she could certainly Zoom into one of our board meetings, I would imagine. But I thought that last survey was well done, and the reporting was excellent. So
then, Mike, you would say the survey plus numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5?
I believe so. I can't seem to find that in my proposal here. Mine goes
Mike,
right to that.
I think it's because you were sent that separate from me today.
Ah,
it's a separate
okay.
email.
That's,
sorry.
I'm in the
that.
Board packet.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't have it for the board packet, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mike, that would be 2 is the district level written report. 3 is a percentile ranking report. 4 is a longitudinal report, and 5 is a comment report.
The longitudinal report we didn't get last time because we only had the first one. That'd be really interesting to see. But I thought the work was excellent last time we did this. So.
Mm-hmm. Might there be a motion?
I would make that if I had all of the numbers in front of me, but I have to open another tab. So if somebody else would like to do that, go right ahead.
I'd make it as well, but I'm on to the next agenda item already.
I move to approve the employment of school perceptions to perform a staff survey to include a district level written report, a percentile ranking report, a longitudinal report, and a comment report.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Cypher, second by Piat, to employ school perceptions to perform a staff survey with several written reports. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 The opposed? We look forward to the conduct of that survey.
Great. Now I'm going to take a minute and talk about the community survey. So I'm going to attempt to share my screen. We'll see if this works. All right.
That means I had to do it right too. So we'll see how I did.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if we won for the money. All right.
Oh, it's looking promising.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to try and... All right. You should see a full... screen there. So Tina had reached out to me about a community survey, and we do all kinds of survey work here at School Perceptions. Sometimes we survey communities when you're preparing for referendum, but many school districts will just do a tell us how we're doing. So sometimes that is as school districts are updating their strategic plan. And in other cases, it's just a check-in. What are the perceptions of the community? Where are their priorities educationally? Where do you think they should be spending your money? How do you want to learn what's going on in the district, and just overall satisfaction? So when we do these, we're really trying to help you as a district to really also, besides gathering data, but also educating your community on the needs and the good things, so the happenings of the district. So these are a customized survey, so no two look alike. We also don't say we're going to survey a random group of your community, but rather we want everyone in your community to learn what's going on, to provide some input and feedback. And on the back end, we're going to slice and dice your data in a variety of different ways to tell you what different subsets of your community think or feel about the school district. So we'll design the survey, and I'll show you kind of some sample pieces. And then how we launch the survey, there's some choices, and obviously we kind of have like a variety of choices, and some are more expensive than others. So some districts choose to create an 8-page paper survey, so it ends up being a little newsletter that people can read about the district and provide feedback. That's a great touch point. There's the greater expense of printing and mailing an 8-page paper survey. In other districts, they develop the survey and we do it all online. And then we print a postcard that provides a web link with a one-time use access code. So now you just have the printing expense of a postcard, which isn't 8 pages, but you've got some mailing expense. In other cases, districts say, nope, we just want to have an online version where they can... where they can just log in and, you know, click on the website and take it. We email it out. In that case, we can't control access because it's a multi-use link that we'd push out on Facebook, on the website, those types of things. So it's not really a good, better, best, but maybe a most expensive to least expensive option. But all of them work. And so again, not a decision you necessarily need to make today about how you'll deploy the survey, but something to consider. So what does that survey look like? I'm showing you some snapshots from similar types of surveys. Again, no two ever look alike, and these get customized to you. But this is kind of the piece of what the paper survey looks like. The postcard would really just be kind of a condensed version of the opening letter and then with the link and the access code. But in all cases, we want to let folks know that the school is a part of your community. And so we want feedback on what we're doing well and where we need to improve and where should we focus our efforts. This was a district that was looking several years ahead as far as facility needs. And so they were... asking to just kind of get some general thoughts there. So again, that'll either be online or in print. In all cases, we'll gather information on who's taking the survey, because that allows us to tell you, here's what your folks over the age of 65 think. Here's what your parents in your elementary schools think. Here's what your not yet school age parents think. So how we react and respond to each of those subsets of your community are important. And so the data and how our software is built will allow you to do that. So again, I'm just going to show you a couple things quickly. We'll customize, we'll work with you. Usually I'd work with Tina and then get some ideas and then share them with you. But in essence, we might talk about more broadly about the district and tell us how we're doing. You know, are we building pride? Do you think we produce a quality product? Are we preparing kids for life after school? We'll also do an area where we'll ask people to tell us how valuable different things are to them, and then to tell us how you think we're doing. And what that does is it allows us to create a gap analysis for you that we can show, you know, the priority of what's important versus performance. And so that's really powerful. And especially when we pull the data apart and look at the gap analysis of parents, the gap analysis of general citizens, because likely those who don't have kids in your schools and don't work for you, where they're hearing about things is just in passive conversations and perceptions. So that gap analysis sometimes is about how are we messaging and sharing what we're doing in the district with our citizens. So that piece we use in a variety of different ways, and how we do, you know, what we include in that programs and services is always customized, but that works. Sometimes we'll ask folks to tell us where should we focus our planning efforts if we're looking ahead in the next couple of years. What is it we should be focusing our attention on? So we'll ask folks, you know, check for the highest priorities. Sometimes we'll build out some, you know, we're considering some things in the future for our facilities. Should this be an area that we spend time looking at? You know, whatever that is. So, and when should we be considering things? So again, all customized to you. Communications, that's a big piece of when you're kind of thinking about messaging, really, you know, how do we connect with our citizens? How do they think we're doing in communication? And then we do that same type of gap analysis with areas that we can share information with you. And how important is it for you to know about those? And then how informed do you feel? So we'll see that, yep, people feel really informed about athletics, but they really don't know what you're doing as far as supporting students with their mental health. But they know that that's important. So lots of different ways we kind of poke at different pieces of the work that you do as a school system. And then the data on the back end, just because of the power of our software, being able to look at folks by age, look at them by subsets of your community. And then really based on that, you'll be able to do some communication planning, curriculum type planning, future planning as far as where to focus efforts. So the other proposal that you were looking at that I think Mike had referenced, that would be that community survey piece where we would design that customized survey for you, deploy that. That would be open about 3 weeks, and then we'd need about 2 weeks to wrap up the data, and then I would provide a report to you. And in most cases, I present those virtually and kind of walk through the data. So I give you a big picture look at it, and then certainly continue to support your district leadership as they kind of dig in and slice and dice the data. So with that, I'll stop and then ask if you've got any questions.
Questions or comments from board members?
I would say that I see great value in doing a community survey of this scope. I would add two thoughts to it if we decide to go this route. One is that it would be valuable to see if we could use some of the data we've already gathered from the community on our own. And I realize that it would not be necessarily comparing apples to apples, but there have been great efforts to survey the community already. I'm thinking about the surveys that we do at registration days and find a way to use that data so that we're not reinventing the wheel completely, although obviously this would be a wider scope. The other comment I would make is that I think there's a great opportunity here to engage with the newly forming Door County Alumni Network. We used to do a really fabulous job of surveying alumni as they left the school and to hear about what they've done post-graduation. I think that piece could fit really nicely into the survey of the broader community as it stands.
I concur with Mrs. Bremer on the value of a survey of this type. I think that the value also comes from it not being a standalone community survey, but a board commitment that some years hence, 3, 4, 5 years, we follow with another to look for effect and look for what it is that a change over time reveals about our school. Sue, when you say it's not random, are you indicating then that this would be box holder or household mail out or contact?
Right. We would land one in every residential mailbox within your district. And so we've got a way that we work with. We've got software. We would take your map and then we would be able to put that on some mailing software to pull out.
I was just going to say, of the three options that Sue presented about how the survey is formatted, it seems to make sense, in my estimation, that the second option, in which it's online, but you provide every household an access code, would be the most cost-effective and also the most targeted for capturing response.
I agree with that, Lauren. Historically, the district did some surveys in on a similar fashion and did it in that way. Households, box holders, mail out, a digital platform, an access code, a non-repetitive code so that no one could do 345 or somebody else's, and a very, very focused report. I think that has value to us. Other board members?
I agree with that. I'm curious, though, if we do a code to do it online, I think we may miss some of our Door County residents who we know we have a higher age population that may not necessarily have access to that kind of a platform to fill out a survey like this. And I'm wondering if this information would include a phone number they could call to request a written one or something to that effect. I also am curious about, we have students who open enroll. Are we interested in trying to gather some of that information from our open enrolled families that are out of district?
Good question. So as far as if you did postcard, you could certainly have to request a paper copy. We've done that before where districts then just print as needed. So you're not, assuming the expense of printing all of those, and then we send you some business reply envelopes to send out with that those. As far as open enrolled parents, we do email with an access control link to all of your email addresses for parents, and therefore we capture your open enrolled families. And that can be a question as far as, do you live in the district or open enroll? And then you can look at those families separately as well. It's just another way to disaggregate the data. So we often capture those open enrolled families through that email invitation.
Perfect. I like that you can include a question on there about being open enrolled as well. I think that it's really important, and I think it helps us look at what people see even from outside of our community as valuable within our district.
I think it's a good idea to go forward with this. It'll give us good information for the future.
Mrs. Van Meer, should the board approve this, when do you anticipate this being conducted?
Well, I would like to have it conducted in the fall. I understand, the positions that we're in, maybe it might be more difficult. But I would like to try to get it as soon as possible so we can get our results back and then start planning for what we want to do next steps based on that feedback. So the sooner the better, but I know there's a process, and I don't know, Sue, how practical is it to get something done that quickly? Would it take a little bit longer? Are we looking more towards the spring?
Certainly, we can turn these around fairly quickly. So it may be, you're going to have some messaging, as I heard earlier in your meeting, you're going to have some messaging as far as, what's happening with school in the fall. So you may want to kind of get that all wrapped up and got to have a system. So it may be that you look to do this in late September, early October, and you'd have data back, by November.
I see great value in in doing this as early in the 2020-2021 school year as possible, given the upheaval we've seen at the state and national level. I think people are particularly focused and engaged in what the school district is doing, and I think capturing those perspectives as accurately and as timely as possible would be ideal if we did this. So I would think that if we move forward with a community survey, we should do it sooner rather than later, if it's possible soon to do it in that time.
I think this is particularly valuable since we're not trying to use it to ask for a referendum or right. doing background on that.
Right. Totally.
We really just want a community report card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an added value that we're not looking for that piece of information. We are just looking to evaluate what we're doing.
Agreed.
A lot of agreement and nodding. If there is an interest, is there a motion to this effect?
Did we ask if we had any public comment?
There is no public comment at this time.
Then I will make a motion to approve the community survey with school perceptions.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, second by Mr. Helm, to approve a community survey by school perceptions. Go ahead. Any questions or comments before we take?
I would only comment that in the motion, I would like to see language that includes a longevity to it, that it's, we put a timestamp on it, that it's not simply once that right. we're going to commit to doing it for multiple years so that we can track that longevity, as I think Mike pointed out.
I think we understand your point. Does it need to be in the motion, Mrs. Bremer? Or can we follow with a, once we receive the results, a motion at that point to commit ourselves to a repeat in the future?
Sure. I just think this type of commitment to the gathering of data only matters when you can consider it over multiple data points, mm-hmm. is my point there.
Yep.
And that was the intention when we did the first staff survey as well, is that yet we would come back and do it again to see what moved the needle.
In that case, to the maker of the motion, the second, would you be amenable to that this is the first annual community survey?
Do we want to do it annually? I was going to say at least
the first
in there. I would amend to add the word first, and that guides us into having another one in the near future.
Thank you. You're right.
I think annual is too frequent.
I was ahead of my game. The first. Mrs. Bremer, does that get your concern?
Indeed.
Thank you. If the maker of the motion, the second, agree, then the motion is to approve a first community survey. I'll ask again, Mrs. Van Meer, any chat on this?
No chat.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 The opposed? Oh, we have surveys in our future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
Great.
So much, Sue, for coming tonight.
And you I'm bet. Have a wonderful night.
I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Item number 7 is to discuss and take possible action on driver's education proposal.
Yes. Dr. Mettner is here, and I know Trish Lindenberg is also in the audience. Dr. Mettner is bringing forth a recommendation to switch from our current rental car agreement with Algoma Motors to a lease agreement. And this lease agreement would ensure a more reliable, safe vehicle for our student drivers. And I'm going to let Dr. Mettner talk a little bit more on the history of that and the details behind that recommendation. Dr. Mettner?
Thank you for the opportunity to bring this to the board.
For many years, we have rented a vehicle, and those vehicles are often several years old and have been, frankly, plagued with various breakdowns and other issues, and has basically become a bit of a safety concern. This is nothing against Algoma Motors or anything else, just older vehicles that end up with higher mileage end up having more mechanical issues. We currently rent through Algoma Motors at $12 a day. And as we, in discussion with Mrs. Lindenberg over time, we looked at the idea or notion of simply leasing a new vehicle in place of always working with these vehicles that are several years old. At $12 a day, a 30-day month, that's $360 per month. And in your board packet, you see an initial quote for a lease at $399 per month with a 10,000 mile a year maximum. We would certainly not exceed that $10,000, and we would have our students and driver's ed instructor in a essentially brand new, in this case, a GMC Terrain, which is a small sport utility vehicle. You would also see the additional expense of the mobility brake installation. For those of you who remember, that's the brake that Mrs. Lindenberg would have in the passenger seat, just in case.
Yes.
That's installed. And that is a critical part of a driver's ed vehicle. Obviously, with the COVID shutdown, we are not currently engaged in behind-the-wheel training. However, when we are able to resume that, I would like to very much would like to work with Mrs. Lindenberg and have our kids in a more reliable new vehicle. And the price difference is not very much. And I feel that safety wise, it's worth the added expense. Thank you.
Have we contacted other vendors?
At this time, no, we have only worked through Algoma Motors. However, there's no reason that we couldn't look for a better deal. It's just Algoma Motors. We've had an existing relationship, and they would know how to install the brake as they do in the rentals that we've used. So we looked for them for a ballpark figure to bring to the board. This is very much a preliminary item. However, I would like to, you know, if possible, move forward with this when we can resume driver's ed behind the wheel instruction.
Yeah, I would like to see us though contact a Door County dealer as well as far as pricing on this. I mean, we have several options that we could use there in Sturgeon Bay, for example, that would keep it. I'd like to keep it as local if we could.
And I certainly have no issue with that. If I could, if the board is amenable to this and I could get a not to exceed type recommendation to move forward, I could certainly look for multiple bids and then bring it back to you for final approval, or I would take whatever lead the board directs.
How many miles a year do we put on a car?
Mrs. Lindenberg, can you respond to that, please? Oh. Just approximation. Keep talking. I will find out.
I was going to say, while she's doing that, I'm curious, does this have all-wheel drive?
The equipment is on the second page.
Sorry, did I miss that? I did.
All-wheel drive. Yep, this would be an all-wheel drive.
Sorry about that.
Is our intention, Garion, to turn over to lease when we're done with it and get everyone?
Yeah, and then that way, every 3 years, we end up into a brand new vehicle for our kids. Another option, I suppose, would be to purchase a new vehicle, but 6 years from now, we have a six-year-old vehicle. And I just feel like the with new drivers, having them in the absolute newest, safest vehicle that is available at the time, I think it would be good practice moving forward.
And as a lease, yeah, it's under warranty, so that Algoma Motors or the vendor bears the maintenance, major maintenance over 3 years?
That's correct. So 36,000 mile warranty on this vehicle. This may have a 100,000-mile powertrain warranty as well, but we would never get there if we were leasing.
But we would house this vehicle for the duration of 3 years.
That's correct.
And is there any limitation on how else we can use it while we are leasing this?
I appreciate that question. That is something that Mrs. Lindenberg and I talked about. Obviously, the first priority would want to be the driver's education vehicle. We would have to look to see if we could disengage the passenger side emergency brake. So that, and also check with our insurance company to ensure that we had coverage for something beyond that. And I would have to defer to Mrs. LeClaire for that. But that is something we talked about, that if we had a reliable vehicle that was ours, it could have multiple purposes as long as we didn't exceed the 10,000 miles per year. Of course, if you do.
When I spoke with Trish, she said that it definitely was under 10,000 per year.
She just came in and reported 4,000 to 5,000 miles per year.
We have leeway.
What is the current disposition of our rented vehicle since we haven't been using it for the last couple months?
It is currently in the disposed in the back of our parking lot, and we are looking at returning it. There was a period of time when we didn't know if and when we would be able to resume over the course of the summer. And so we were holding on to it because it has the brake installed and those things, and it's ready to go. At this point, though, we're not looking to immediately resume over the course of the summer. So we'll be looking to return that rental, hopefully with the notion moving forward that we could lease when it's time to start back up.
And would we start on the road instruction with the commencement of school, or would that be at a later date?
That would be built into the contingencies based on CDC guidelines. Really, I couldn't speculate on that at this time. Mrs. Lindenberg has been doing a tremendous amount of research. We've even looked into the possibility of simulators taking care of some of the behind-the-wheel time to try to keep kids moving if we're not able to. And so we're in preliminary research on options at this time. But we've unfortunately had to tell our families that we are, you know, not able to. So for those students who are finishing up this year, if they want to do it right away, they've had to go to a private provider.
Right. Well, I hope those simulators aren't Grand Theft Auto.
There is no, they aren't. The ones that we've seen so far are basically a computer screen, and there's a driving wheel and a foot pedal setup. But we haven't gotten price quotes or anything like that. That's really just a contingency planning into the fall.
Would that be called F1 racing? I believe that's kind of their setup.
I don't think racing is any part of it, hopefully.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm set to approve this specific one without getting additional quotes. Sure. But I do like the proposal itself of leasing a vehicle instead of renting one, making sure that our students are in a new safe vehicle, having the warranties on them and all the things that come with leasing a vehicle. So the proposal itself, I would like to see pursued, but I don't know that I can approve actually signing or going ahead with the contract through Algoma Motors at this time.
Let's just do a nodding amongst board members. Is the concept of leasing this a vehicle for driver's education agreeable to board members without making an agreement this evening?
Yes.
Nodding?
Yes.
Mark, you're nodding? Thank you. The value of this contract places it into a need for a competitive bid. We asked the administration to bring back at the subsequent board meeting a competitive bid by which we can compare Algoma Motors with another provider. But we give you the belief that such a successful presentation would be approved at that time.
Thank you.
Is there any chat, Mrs. Van Meer?
I don't know. Ann Kiefer is saying something, but I don't know what it means.
I'd like to also add that we should turn that existing rental in as soon as possible to defray that expense.
Mm-hmm.
and not just go ahead and lease a vehicle until we absolutely are going to start with our driving.
It's exactly what we plan to do. We were waiting for tonight and this opportunity to see what our next steps were. But if I have a general consensus that the board would support this, you'll have a competitive bid when the time is right for us to resume driver's ed. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we have discussed and not taken action on this item. We look forward to it being presented at a future meeting. Let us turn then to the eighth item on our agenda this evening, approve inclusion of sixth grade as part of the middle school under the 300 entity for the school report card.
Thank you. Well, I'll get started and turn it over. The administration is bringing forth a recommendation to include sixth grade as part of the secondary school beginning with the 2020-21 school year. The recommendation that's being brought before you will talk about the overview of staffing, scheduling, grading, and offerings included in the sixth grade program. And we are also recommending the inclusion of sixth grade as part of the middle school under the 300 entity, and this is for the purpose of state reporting and the state report card. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mettner and Mr. Annan.
Thank you for this opportunity. As many on the board know, we have looked at ways to develop a stronger middle school identity for many years. As we are moving forward with our new reading program that will seem with what is currently taught in sixth grade and other curriculum alignment moving forward, we felt that this would be a good time to absorb the sixth grade into the quote middle school and have a 6-7-8 program. Some of the advantages of this noted in our board report, developmentally sixth graders certainly fit better in a 6-8 context in many cases than a K-6. This would allow new opportunities for vertical curriculum alignment and RTI. The sixth grade is already largely involved in a number of our middle school activities, including dances and spirit weeks. A strong middle school identity is easier to establish if we know that the sixth grade is a part of that middle school. That gives us a critical mass of students to have more activities as a school. Two grades is not quite enough. Teachers in grades 6-8 would have a broader pool of ideas and input to draw upon from each other as colleagues. When we think about school improvement planning, if we consider this, we would now have two content teachers, two core teachers, rather than one in the middle school. And that, I think, opens the door for transition discussions and vertical alignment in a way that that door has not been opened in the past. Not to anyone's fault, it's just if we purposely include the sixth grade in the middle school, we increase those chances of positive interactions with staff. And then, of course, grading for the sixth grade, we would shift from a trimester to a semester grading program, though the students would still have a slightly different schedule to meet the needs of the sixth grade curriculum. Grade reporting and other things on a semester basis would ease that transition moving into seventh grade. So I would defer to Brian for any additional things, but I appreciate the opportunity to bring this to the board. It's something that we've discussed for a long time, and it's great, in my opinion, that we're able to bring this up for discussion and hopefully approval. Thank you.
You're muted.
Sorry, I wouldn't add anything else to Dr. Mettner's brief presentation there. We had discussions with the sixth grade teachers. They are okay with the possibility of the current change, and the sixth graders would then move to a different lunch and a different sort of activity after lunch that would give them a chance to get out their energy before they would continue learning in the afternoon.
I would say that I have heard from lots of parents over the years that sixth grade is awkward for their children because they're included in some of the seventh and eighth grade activities, but not all of the seventh and eighth grade activities. And so they have a hard time figuring out where they fit as they're already going through so many changes emotionally as teenagers and preteens. So I think this is a very good idea. I think this will give them a real identity. I think it will pull them into a place, and it will have a really nice connection for sixth, seventh, and eighth to make a real transition from fifth grade to ninth grade.
Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe Ms. Van Meer could help me with the history here, because this move happened before that I got here. So it was originally done to provide students with academic support and with interventionists, if I remember correctly, right, Ms. Van Meer?
That would be part of the reason, yes.
Sure. Yep. So now with some more academic support in the middle school level that you took place in and hired in the previous board meetings, you would still have that academic support for sixth graders that is consistent with the elementary school academic support as well.
And I would add that this is the first step in a multi-year process of integrating and seaming our curriculum. And so this would not assume that we are instantly coming into the fall with all of the work of curriculum alignment and identifying data trends and other things. But this gets the ball rolling and sets the framework for us to move forward in a way that I think will make a big difference for our teachers and students.
Dr. Mettner, do you see any other activities in grades now 6, 7, and 8, which extend or expand the concepts of middle-level education?
Sure. As we get into, well, we already have a number that are existing. So sixth grade is when our students begin our instrumental music program in the secondary. They and choir and our exploratory courses. We can look at expanding that over time. And then as we, as you know very well, looking forward to the following year, we are charged with developing a schedule that is not a 9-period day for grades 7 and 8. So we will look at seaming a schedule together between grades 6, 7, and 8 that would be developmentally more appropriate for that age group. So yes, I would see a lot of opportunity to include additional middle level appropriate practices.
What about sports?
Sports right now, we don't have we're not in that in a we don't have a sixth grade conference like the seventh and eighth grade. Right. So I'm not sure how I would respond to that at this point. But it's not to say that the door is closed to looking to expand or change how we offer sixth grade sports. I'm just not, I don't have enough information to talk at it intelligently at this time.
I have a clarification question. I don't know if I missed this in the board packet, but I didn't see this addressed. So in addition to moving the sixth grade into the entity for school report card purposes, is this also a recommendation to take the sixth grade officially out of the elementary school and place it into the secondary school? Okay.
Yes.
I see you now. So,
yes, you're correct, Lauren.
Okay. So I was just making sure that this wasn't just a clerical point of order in reporting to the state. This was an internal thing as well, that this sixth grade will now fall under you, Dr. Mettner, as a secondary principal.
Right.
Okay. Obviously, you know that this issue is very near and dear to my heart, and this is something that we have, for those of us who've been faculty prior to 2014, when I think the switch was made to sixth grade is a elementary grade level. There's a great deal of value in rearticulating a middle school, as we've done a great deal of research on this topic. And I would only hope, and it sounds like you're in that arena, that there is a plan going forward to help to bolster the work that's already been done to carve out not only the curriculum and academic side of this, but also the socio-emotional needs of a sixth grader and a seventh grader and an eighth grader in carving out that middle school experience. And it sounds like we're on that path, and I'm glad to hear that this is the road we're on.
Yeah, the research in the secondary BLT for many years was really step one. This change is step two, And then as we move forward, I think step three is exactly what you talk about, is developing not only the academic plan, but also the social emotional. We would continue to work between Mrs. Roberts and Mrs. Peterson in the transition in sixth and seventh grade. However, we would look at finding ways to include the sixth grade in like what you would consider this middle school experience and middle school identity in a way that we just couldn't when they weren't a part of what we were doing in name.
To what extent are we associated with WAMLY?
Well, we know that Mr. Scoville is heavily associated with WAMLY. I have not attended their specific conferences, but I think as we move forward as a group by adding two teacher members, and we have now greatly reduced the number of shared staff between middle and high school, I think, and we've been regularly holding middle school staff meetings on Tuesdays for 2 years now, we are, I think, getting to a point where we probably could send a core, I guess now, you know, depends if we would go in person or virtually, but we could probably start looking to WAMLY for examples and resources and possibly attending their main conference, the state conference.
I encourage that in terms of expanding our concept of what middle level education encompasses. It's beyond, if we think about the A's, it's beyond the academics or the arts or the activities. As Mrs. Bremer's indicated, it's a development transcendent attitude. Any other questions, comments from our board members on this agenda item? Mrs. Van Meer, is there any chat?
We have some chat, so bear with me. Mike is saying to everyone, we used to have a 6th, 7th, 8th grade middle school. That is what's best for students physically and socially and mentally. Jody Hoyerman says, glad to hear you are returning to the 6th grade as part of the middle school. Many have complained about the 6th grade being caught in a space that wasn't inclusive. They will now belong to a school. And Karen Krause agrees with Jody. Devin Thomas says sixth grade participates in school-sponsored football, track, and cross country as seventh grade participants. Mike just is thanking Lauren for her words earlier. Peggy Tanks said this will be awesome for the athletic piece of it as well. Mike is informing us that the conference has been canceled for this year. And then Jody Hoyerman, thank you, Lauren, for remembering what the students shared with you during the interviews a few years back. So, and that's your chat.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments on this agenda item?
Thank you for this opportunity to present.
This agenda asks us to approve. Is there a motion?
I'd make a motion to approve the inclusion of sixth grade as part of the middle school under the 300 entity for the school report card.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Bremer, second by Mrs. Hickey. I heard Mrs. Hickey. To approve inclusion of sixth grade as part of the middle school under 300 entity for the school report card. Any last questions? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. The opposed?
Aye.
The sixth grade is now a middle school.
Yay! Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for the presentation. Item number 9 on our agenda this evening is to approve professional development for the secondary school. This will be dated in August 24th through the 27th.
Thank you.
Mrs. Van Meer.
Yes, I'll get started. And then, Gary, if you just want to jump in here wherever you feel comfortable doing that, that would be great. So we've done a lot of professional development or planned a lot for our elementary. They're bringing on a new math curriculum. And so they have some training in Bridges this summer. They are also getting some training in Orton-Gillingham. So they're pretty booked this summer. And as the board already knows, you approved recently policy 2230. And in that policy, we are required to develop K-12 curriculum course guides in order to help better support students in their learning. And because of that, we're bringing forth this recommendation to provide professional development this summer to support the teachers as they create course guides. Now, because the elementary are pretty booked for the summer, we're looking to do an introductory kind of training for them during our September seminar, which used to be August Academy, but now we've moved our calendar to September, so we changed it to September seminar to not confuse anybody. It's the same thing. But we would provide an initial training there and then some follow-up as they need it. So the idea is to approve that professional development because I know that it's not part of our teachers' contracts to come in, so that we would need to pay them to attend this professional development training, and I wanted to make sure that the board was okay with that professional development. I did also provide to the board a proposal from Claire Wick. She has been an internal coach and trainer for our staff for over 6 years. She's worked extensively with the multi-age program and teachers in that program. She's helped them, I think, of all the things, they've done so many things in multi-age, but one of the things that is really a passion of that group is the development of their progressions of standards that they use for standard-based grading reporting to parents. They put in a lot of time and work, and she was integral in supporting their work in that area. But she's also worked with Brian Ann in this past year as part of the instructional practices ad hoc, and they brought forth the recommendation for gradual release as our instructional design, which the board approves, so we will be implementing that as well. And it made a lot of sense. She's also worked several years with multiple groups of teachers in the elementary and middle high on purposeful instruction, which is really where the concept of using gradual release and classroom lesson design and learning targets all started. And now, you know, it started in small pockets in her work with those teachers, and now that it's been board approved, we'll be able to really expand that to our entire school now. So we're excited about that work. And this would be another training that she could provide that would help seam all of this together. Oh. Because as you remember, we're designing course guides for the entire course, but we're also going to design lesson plans, which will use the GRR model that integrate with those course guides. So there's a lot of work to do, and we wanted to make sure that our staff has adequate time to do that. We will have to come up with a multi-year plan for the board. Realistically, I don't envision us being able to create course guides for every subject and every grade level, every subject in 1 year. I think it's going to take us some time, but we want to make sure that we're doing it right. So the board did see the proposal by Claire to provide that professional development. Let me flip through that real quick if you don't mind, just to go be a little more specific, as you saw earlier today. And Mike, it is something I had to send you separately. It's a separate email, so you know. So Claire is providing a total of 9 days of professional development training and planning, and it's approximately $650 a day. So the total would be $5,850 to provide that PD. And I just wanted to give a little perspective on that as we take a look at the two other trainings that we're doing. And her PD is going to cover all the teachers from elementary to the high school. So everyone's included in that. For our OG training, which will be a 5-day training, we can only have up to 29 participants, or it gets more expensive. We are going to be spending $27,000 on that, which is approximately $5,400 per day. And then with our math trainings, we're doing 2-day trainings, follow-up trainings, and each of those is $4,100 a day. So I wanted to throw those out as comparison, but I think to me, then I'll ask Dr. Mettner to talk a little bit more about that work, because we are involving Michelle Ring Hansen as part of that, as part of our CESA 7 contract. But for me, it's really valuable to have our our independent consultant who's been working with us for several years. And I must say, she's developed so many good relationships with the teachers that she's been working with. And she's done some really good things with them. And I think relationships and I think commitment to a district, she only works with one other district. She comes here because she loves our district and she loves working with our teachers, and she'll tell you that. I think that matters and that's important. The other thing I wanted to say is I did look into the contracts for the last 6 years, and her rate has stayed exactly the same for 6 years, so she has not raised her rate. So I think that's kind of telling of her commitment to our district. So with that, Dr. Mettner, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the work that you'll be doing with this summer training, specifically to secondary, and Claire and Michelle's work with you? Just to get a bigger perspective of how it all fits together.
Yeah, thank you. So this opportunity in August 24th through August 27th is a small part of what Mrs. Van Meer was just talking about. However, I think it represents an opportunity to get staff started in the right way, to afford time that is due to them to get a great start on developing these curriculum course guides. And I would look to use much of our professional development time that is scheduled over the course of the subsequent year to work toward the completion of these curriculum course guides. The nice thing about this revised policy is that it does work very well with the curriculum inquiry cycle work that has been now going on for over 2 years with the math department and 1 year with the ELA department, but we'll follow with other departments in that. Each department looks at their overall standards and whether those standards, how they are taught or taught and assessed or not taught or taught and not assessed. They review all of those standards and then develop unit plans that essentially break down each semester and include the standards that are taught toward mastery and assessed for mastery in each unit. What the curriculum course guide will do for us is give the teachers an opportunity to create kind of a 30,000 foot view of their overall curriculum that will help them working through these individual unit plans. The math and ELA departments already have quite a big head start. The math department, in fact, may be able to complete curriculum course guides very quickly because the elements of a curriculum course guide are already done in a unit plan in more detail. So what I would like to do is ask the board for this opportunity to provide staff with some paid time working in conjunction with both Michelle Ring Hansen and Claire Wick to deliver this professional development and provide guided work time and individual work time leading up into the school year. Because I feel that, especially with the unknowns of remote learning and other things as we move into the school year, this training would be very important and a great head start on this board expectation. That's really all I have to say. If anyone has any questions, the student learning committee had, you know, discussed the, or it was a policy rather, and I do have a template started that follows the understanding by design and backwards design model, and also works with the existing vocabulary of both Claire Wick and Gradual Release that includes learning targets and success criteria, as well as the existing work on the curriculum inquiry cycle. Mm-hmm.
Is this our regular scheduled PD days?
This would be in addition
to that, Mr. Wiborg. We felt like our high school staff would really could benefit from having these days to receive the trainings, but also have actual work time to put these course guides together, because it is going to take an enormous amount of time to put these together.
Okay. Thank you.
I noticed that in two of the segments, July, August, for the prep for secondary level, the prep for elementary, it uses Zoom. So would this be remote work between Claire and teachers, or is there an in-person engagement?
If we can do in-person, I told her to plan for both, because if we can't come in person, I wanted her to have something put together in a presentation that could be done virtually. But also, I would prefer that she and Michelle Ringhansen are in person.
Good. Yes. Thank you. And the August 24, 27 appears to be in person.
Yes. Yes.
Good. If we contract for this, what if we're not able to be in person?
Yeah.
In that case, we would go remote. I think it would still be worth bringing people together in a Zoom context so that we could get that start. Because either way, we need to get the work started.
And Dr. Seifer, next on the agenda is the CESA 7 contract. And we do have 12 professional development days allotted to us. We've been using those basically with Michelle Ringhansen working at secondary. So with this collaboration between Claire and Michelle, I would want to use Michelle's days to hone in on the secondary level and use Claire's days to hone in on the elementary with Brian, so we can get a full scope of really in. I want to her to be, both of them to be as personable and in person with each of our teachers as necessary. So I think we can accomplish that.
Very good. Nice design. Good. I greatly appreciate the administration's work on bringing forward PD on course guides. It's an element of our curriculum delivery, our understanding of curriculum, our fidelity to curriculum that requires our work. This is a great start. Thank you for it. Are there questions, comments from board members?
I make a motion to approve professional development for the secondary school for August 24th to the 27th.
Thank you, Mark. May I ask for any chat on this before we take a motion?
Oh, yes, sorry. Thank you for remembering. I totally forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I did have one thing I wanted to say was that, if you'll remember at the last meeting, I did ask us to revisit our school calendar to make sure that we are, as we talk about reopening school, if we continue to believe that the calendar we approved prior to COVID-19 is still the best calendar for our school. And I would just ask that if we approve this and then if we were to revisit the calendar and decide we would actually like to start the first week of September, we'll be able to adjust those dates if we're approving professional development for dates in December, but if we revisit the calendar or if we make a change to the calendar as to our first
date. I would ask that if we want to do that, we probably should get it on the next agenda and really make that decision. The one nice thing about working with Claire is that she's only working with two schools, so there's a lot more availability in her calendar. I'm not sure about CESA 7 with Michelle Ringhansen. Dr. Mettner, I believe you've been able to do a fairly decent job of getting her scheduled.
Well, as we get this contract approved tomorrow, I will be calling her to try to arrange with the calendar over the course of the school year. We do look out over the whole school year each year in our planning because she does get booked up quite quickly. So that's something that would go on my docket tomorrow.
Thank you all. Mrs. Van Meer, was there any chat?
No, no chat.
Thank you. Mr. Wiborg.
Yes, the motion still stands.
Thank you.
We'll second.
Have a motion by Mr. Wiborg, a second by Mr. Piatt to approve professional development for secondary school August 24th through 27. Any other questions to the motion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The opposed? Thank you very much. The
Thank
motion
you.
Passes.
Thank you, school board. I appreciate your support on that. We're going to have some really good work to do, so it's good.
It's good work.
It
Let's get at
it. It is very good work.
Item number 10, to approve the CESA 7 contract.
Okay.
That contract is in our packet.
I'm sorry, before we begin, the proposal that we had from Claire also included elementary, but was that not part of our, did not sound like it was part of the motion?
The motion complied with the agenda item.
Okay.
As posted, the motion needed to comply with that.
We'll still, well, you.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point that the proposal had included elementary, but that was not part of the motion, so that I am on the same page and understanding.
Understood, and you know, we will still be providing that to the elementary. We just didn't want to do it in the summer. The reason this comes to the board is this is beyond the teacher's contract, so we would have to pay them an additional amount, and I wanted to make sure the board would approve that. So,
perfect.
But yes, I just, we won't leave them out. I just want to give. I want them to breathe a little bit.
I'm with you. I am with you. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page as we have materials and things.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you.
On the same page as we turn it to the CESA 7 contract.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So this is a contract that we approve annually. It has some big ticket items in it that I'll just review just a little bit. Obviously, part of it is just the administrative services and what all the things that they have to offer. The other things I want you to know is we do take services for Art of College. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on me. For students, oh, they're on me. Okay. Audiology, see how that helps when you actually put your glasses on? Oh my goodness. Little distracted, I guess, tonight. But we do have students that receive services who are hard of hearing. We do have support through our English Language Learners Consortium. A big part of what we have from CESA 7 is the distance learning network. We do a lot of ITV through distance learning. I think Chelsea had stated we have approximately 20 students every year, give or take. So that's a pretty good participation there. And then I do attend PAC meetings. That's a pretty low fee, $112. But I do get to attend monthly PAC meetings at times. And then the big piece at the bottom, the other big piece, is our full learning services partnership. This allows us 12 professional development days, and as I told you, we are using Michelle Ring Hansen with that to work at the secondary school. But it also allows us discounts for our other teachers attending workshops through CESA 7. So I think that's the scope of that, unless anybody else like to add on or has questions.
Any other questions? Mrs. Hickey, any plug from our CESA representative?
All the services are, I think, excellent ways to use CESA 7. And we have been using it all along for a while. So I certainly encourage.
I appreciate the fact that the menu of items, project numbers as they're listed, is lengthy, and that the administration has gone through to pick out those which most pertain to our school district and our needs. I also commend the district and our board for maintaining a membership and the use of CESA 7. It's a very important agency in northeastern Wisconsin.
I have to say, and I could probably say this because I doubt that any other, some of the CESAs I've been a part of are not listening to this board meeting, but they are, I might get in trouble. I have to say, when I came up here, I was very impressed with CESA 7 and the services they provide. You do not see this type of service provided in many of the CESAs. I'm not going to name which ones I'm talking about in particular, but they just don't have the type of professional development and guidance that we're able to get through our CESAs. You don't see superintendent meetings, and if you do, you don't see very many superintendents at the meetings. So it's just, they do an impressive job, and it's one of the things that attracted me to this area was to have a CESA that could provide this kind of support. And what I also love about them is they're always looking for different ways to support us based on what's happening in the educational world at the time it's happening. So they're always looking out for what they can do to better serve. And so I truly appreciate that.
I would second.
Any other board comments?
I was just going to say, would you like a motion to approve?
I'd like to know if there's any chat.
No chat.
Yes, we would like a motion.
Okay. I move to approve the 2021 CESA 7 contract.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Hickey, a second by Mr. Wiborg to approve the 2021 CESA 7 contract. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 The opposed? We are contracted.
Thank you.
Item number 11 is discuss job description for the K-12 assistant principal.
Yes, thank you. As you see, the posting is coming up as your next agenda item, and we have done some current upgrades to the job description. The assistant principal position started out really as supporting our principals, K-12, with attendance and discipline, so they could focus in on curriculum and instruction as we were implementing the new state-level educator effectiveness system. And that was phenomenal when we first were able to put that together. But since that time, this job has grown to be much more than just working on attendance and discipline. So I wanted to provide the board with an updated job description and ask if you have any questions about what you've seen in that job description. I'll also tell you that if you flip to the very last page, that gives you just a little bit more detail on the specific job assignments, and I can go through those. But if you have any questions on anything you're seeing in the actual job description itself, please don't hesitate to ask. And Tim's somewhere on there. I can't see him, but I'm sure he'd be more than happy to talk about any of these areas of the job description and his role in those areas. Of course, our assistant principal is the summer school principal. He performs support staff evaluations. He does bus supervision, student discipline and attendance, supervision of extracurricular sporting events. He supervises school-sponsored events like dances and athletic events. He leads the PBIS team at the secondary and elementary levels. He serves as a countywide coordinator for Project 180 and a member of the countywide trauma-informed care team. He's a member of our STRIDE Mental Health Coalition. He serves as a member of the countywide alcohol and other drug task force team. He serves as on the countywide safety team. He is a district trainer. I shouldn't keep saying he, but I'm referring to our current one. He is a district trainer for crisis prevention intervention. And obviously, he does reports to the board on attendance, discipline, and at-risk students as required, and helps maintain the student handbooks. So those are more specific job assignments. The other pages are really taking from the ISLIC standards and what it means to be a leader under those standards. And as part of the standards, what is the vision for each standard? What are the functions that fall under that standard? And trying to make it as specific as I can to the assistant principal. So I don't know if you have some questions about that or want to discuss some of this in further detail.
As I looked over the job description, I'm wondering how many people we're supposed to hire for this job. I think it's going to take more than one.
Yes.
Tim
is very hard to replace. Okay. Okay. Tim gets some kudos for that.
Did you mention RTI? Both elementary and secondary, or was it just elementary? Working with those, with that program.
So the assistant principal piece of RTI is working with the social, emotional, behavioral side of RTI.
Oh, okay.
And that's why you see a lot in the job description about, if you look at some of the memberships that he has relate to, like the alcohol and other drug task form, the STRIDE mental health, the trauma-informed care team. Those are really hitting heavy on the social, emotional side of RTI. And I have to say, the discipline part of his job, of the job, is not just about disciplining kids. It's about being proactive and teaching kids strategies and how to deal and with their emotions and how to better deal and better handle others who are creating these emotions in them. So it's an educational piece that he does. Not just I'm going to suspend you or or I'm going to keep you in from recess, because we know that, yes, we need to have those types of enforcements to demonstrate when students step over the line, there are consequences for behavior. But also, we know that students don't learn proactive strategies by just delivering consequences. There needs to be a relationship built with those students, a relationship that works towards helping them deal with their social and emotional regulation, I guess I could say. I'm probably not the best expert to talk about it, but in a nutshell. And Tim, you're welcome to chime in anytime you would like to help me out.
I think you pretty accurately summed up most of the information. I would say, too, being an advocate for kids is an important part of the role.
So I think we mentioned it in correspondence. We received quite a number of correspondence emails, as well as phone calls, as well as I'm sure people have talked to us. Well, I'm not out very much, but maybe some of you go out and about at this time. But the one thing that, you know, there has been a lot of people who do not want us to hire another administrator to fill this position. Those that have advocated for it, the biggest thing that they have talked about, really the one thing that they have talked about, which is my point of concern, is the boards that Mr. Mulrain has sat on, the STRIDE, the trauma-informed care, all of those. I think those are things that require time. They require effort, and they require learning at the meetings and bringing it back into our school and teaching that information. And with that comes the student discipline. I will say, as we look over job descriptions for our principals and our assistant principal, I see a lot of repetitive of that discipline of those contact cases. However, I know the time that Mr. Mulrain has spent with students and caring for those students in their time of a crisis. To those kids, that is a crisis moment. When I look at this list of job assignments, I can pull things off very easily and assign them to principals. I think they're the summer school principal. I think our regular building principals can handle doing those summer schools. I think they're fully capable of doing those things. Bus supervision as well. I think we will have a total of 4 administrators without hiring one. We can handle bus supervision as 5 days. It means you each alternate an extra day. We can look at student attendance, and those are things I think as well we can pull some of that out. The sporting events, again, we have 4 people to take on some of these roles. When we get to discipline, when we get to students in crisis, when we get to these committees, that's where I start to try to figure out where do those pieces go if we don't have someone. That's the beginnings of my thought for discussion.
That was interesting. It was interesting to see the emails we received, and from community, it was cut the position, and I understand that. I'm all for cutting when possible, and but then the staff emails are, please do not cut. The assistant principal is needed badly, and I can concur with that feeling, as we've heard the amount of time that Tim has put into the discipline and that side of the equation. So it's I understand both sides, but I believe we really need this position as the needs are getting greater and greater.
I need to concur on needs of the students, of children. And I think as I read those and spoke to some community members, some are very adamantly against cutting, you know, not to replace it, et cetera. But I kept coming back to the needs of the students. Our kids come to us so, they have so many different needs than they did 10 years ago. And the time that when a student is in crises, it's not a matter of a 4 to 5 minute fix. That usually it requires not only hours with the student, but it may require days. We face so many of these issues with students that we had not anticipated. Now we're going to be facing students basically coming out of isolation back into that large community again. That transition, I think, will be very rough on some students. Some will have no difficulty. I think of as we ramp up learning, we've talked about the changes in elementary, the changes that we are asking every one of our teachers to do. I think it's difficult then to add in all of the personal attention that we would expect the teacher to have for each student. And that's where I think I am for keeping that position, even though it's going to be difficult. And when we look at budget coming up, I just think there are other places perhaps that we can see a difference instead of one of the people who are so important to our students, or should be important to our students. But I just keep thinking of kids. I just can't move that out of my mind that this person tends to those kids, along with many others. But
I would corroborate what Mr. Wiborg, Mrs. Sherman, and Mrs. Hickey have just said. I've thought about this a lot in the last month, and I think that if you had asked me personally about this position 3 years ago, my opinion would have been very different than it is today. The evolution of my thinking has changed with what Mrs. Hickey said, which is the changing needs of our students, and recognizing that at some point, and I can only speak to the last 15 years of my time in the Gibraltar community as a faculty member, is that somebody, regardless of the title, has been trying to fill this role, whether those responsibilities were articulated clearly, whether the salary was commensurate with the exerted effort of that particular person or persons over the years. Somebody has been trying to fill that role, and sometimes it's multiple people. Sometimes it's our counselors paired with our teachers, paired with our special, you know, it's been an effort. However, in the last few years, the need for this role has been augmented. And I do think that the person who fills this role is incredibly integral. I think Mr. Mulrain in the last few years has done this position a great deal of justice and honor. I can say that from the perspective of a teacher working with students and as a parent. And it only can be somebody who sees the value of being an advocate for students in a variety of capacities, not only behaviorally, but academically. And that's not to say that the principals and the teachers and the counselors can't do those things, because they already are doing those things. They continue to do those things in the capacity as their duties, you know, suggest that they should be doing them. But having a singular person who is a voice for the students who need it the most, I think is so important. And the community members who spoke out that said, this is a time for budgetary cuts, this is a time to be vigilant about the spending. I completely agree and I understand. However, I would say that this is a position that is so integral to what it means to be a Gibraltar Viking, to what sets us apart from other districts and what we can offer students, that we can offer all of these outstanding programs and personal contact to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks academically or emotionally. And I think that this role is a really important one to maintain.
Well said, Lauren.
I think it's difficult for us to have a conversation about assistant principal without having Tim Mulrain's face pop up in front of us.
Exactly.
However, remember when you say however, you set that former aside, that one of the things that I always remind myself when I sit as a board member is the term diligence. And in this discussion, diligence to me says, with this opening, we're not cutting any person from a job. The action of the board to this evening or at any time forward is not saying there's a person in the job and we're reducing that person, laying them off, cutting them, sending them away. This is an opening in which there's no person yet attached. To me, that says, even though I read through all of the performance objectives and the scope of the job, diligence to me says, how do I demonstrate that this can't be accomplished otherwise? If these were, as Mrs. Sherman began to say, reassigned, what would that look like? Is that an impossibility? An impossibility large enough to make it compelling that we have to fill the position? I'm not arguing not filling it. I'm not arguing filling it. I'm saying, have we done diligence to ask the question, is there another way, given the persons that we have, highly qualified, on our administrative team for accomplishing these without filling that position? It's not cutting, it's a cost reduction. It's not totally monetary, it's looking at the efficiency and the effectiveness of our team. And if we can accommodate these, then diligence tells me we should. If we cannot, then diligence tells me fill the position. But as of yet, I've not seen evidence that would say to me that we cannot accommodate these. Therefore, I would ask the administration to display what would it look like in the current assignments of our personnel if the functions were distributed to others. And is that a possibility or an impossibility? And from that demonstration, make a decision about going forward with filling the position. That's my take on it.
I have to agree. That's really where I was going. You just said it much less wordy than I did. This is why I write scripts for myself to read. Because that's what I was trying to do. And I think it would be more beneficial not to have me try to do that, but to have the administration do that themselves. But that is exactly where I was going with that, Steve.
We have to also remember, we took two positions and made them into one when we hired the assistant principal.
Well, Mark, that would be another thing that I would entertain looking at is, but does it need to be an assistant principal? If we had two other positions that weren't assistant principals, do we need an assistant principal? Or are there some tasks that can't be assigned to the principals or other administrators that somebody else is needed to fill a specific role, but not this assistant principal role as presented?
Previously, the roles that we combined, I know one of them was an aide. And many of the tasks that we're taking up require more than an aide. I forget the other one, Mark, offhand, two that we changed up, but I know one of them is an aide. These positions, and in the position he is, she will be taking, requires someone with a degree. We've talked about administrators being out of the building. The number of meetings that I think to put together the STRIVE program, the safety program, I'm trying to think of the third one, mental health, those were so big. And then we would expect or to attend how many, whichever principals they'd be out of the building. And we've heard they're out of the building too much. They need, someone needs to be there every day. And you've kind of added another clinker to it. And I think of our teachers on a daily basis, the support they get. Now, I would not, each of our principals have jobs, and those are quite lengthy. So I guess, Steve, when you mentioned we should have the administrator figure out how those jobs can be dispersed, I agree. Bus supervision can be done by a teacher. It doesn't have to be an administrator. But I think that's kind of minor in the whole scheme of on chaperoning or being the administrator at an athletic event. That can be done by a teacher. That's not a problem. But the crux of the description, I think, requires a person holding a degree in those sensitive areas or close to or past work performance. But I feel that we have been taught or told consistently on what our principals are doing and where would we then add something else. I guess that's a concern for me. Do we get the same job? Because then you have to make decisions. Okay, wait a minute. I have my one of my elementary performances. Do I then say I can't go to that because I'm attending, you know, the STRIVE meetings? And I just think that we would be tearing our principals apart along with what we have asked them to do. I think of the amount of overseeing of curriculum, the new pieces that are going to be, how many in the last year have we added? So not only do those teachers need support and guidance, but also I think we have to be realistic of what the principals already do and how it's different.
I would add to that.
Oh, go ahead, Lauren.
I was just going to say, Dr. Seifer, I appreciate your suggestion for the administration to consider how to reallocate those responsibilities. It's the responsibly economical consideration to consider. I would also say, to echo what Mrs. was saying, that in conversation that I've had with parents of students and community members, one of the things that they continue to say is that they want to see administrative representation at meetings where their students are. And I'm looking at the job description that Mrs. Van Meer has provided, sites that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is 27% of this person's day is spent in meetings. That's a quarter or a third, depending on the year, of this person's day is attending these STRIVE meetings, attending SAIL meetings or their equivalency, which is incredibly important to create academic and behavioral plans. And asking our elementary and secondary principal to spend that much time, I hope that they would attend those meetings if they're able. But the responsibilities that they have are vast. And I continue to say that having somebody who is dedicated to those one-on-one interventions is incredibly important. And I think that other people over the last 20 years have done that role. And I think articulating that role for somebody who is licensed and who is educated in the elementary and secondary minds of students is incredibly important.
Lauren, I think you hit it right on that the way we would make these roles fit into the other administrative jobs is delete a lot of them. And that's not something that Gibraltar is really welcoming of. We have been noted as a very personal touch school. We've been that way for a long time. Our parents expect small class sizes all the way through high school. And I think that this role really gives us that ability to have that personal touch with the parents and the students that are in need. That we would
Mrs. Van Meer, can you comment on leadership of SAIL and STRIDE meetings and the other meetings in the coming year?
What do you mean, comment?
I believe I've heard you say that under your leadership, principals will be leading those meetings.
Oh, thank you. Yes. In the other document that the board received in the board packet, each one of the principals went through their areas of responsibility and highlighted the responsibilities and the approximate times that they put into those responsibilities. It is true, our building principals not only evaluate teachers and work through the educator effectiveness system, but they also facilitate building leadership meetings. They participate in district level leadership team meetings, ad hoc meetings. They run things like curriculum inquiry and different meetings. They're very extremely busy in leadership groups. They are also taking the lead in data meetings at their building level, and they are also going to be taking the lead in special education meetings at their building level. And part of that is to bring both buildings together, to have all their staff working together, if that makes sense. It's really important that we're not separate silos, but that we have all of our staff members at each building working together under the leadership of their building principal. Is that what you were asking me for? I think we lost Dr. Seifer.
He's in a trance. I agree, Angela and Steve, on your thoughts.
Yeah.
But I believe the presentation we have received and the compilation of material and of all the administrators and Mrs. Van Meer, I believe this is them saying we need this position. And they've done their homework, and I believe it merits posting the position.
Well, are we still discussing the job description, or are we discussing taking possible action on posting?
Well, I'm hoping to move it on to the...
Well, we haven't heard from the audience yet, so we can't move on to the next item, because I have a feeling there's lots of chat that Tina is going to need to siphon through.
Yeah, there's
we're not there even to that agenda.
There is a lot of chat.
But I will say this, Mark. I hear what you're saying. And I've looked very thoroughly now multiple times, because we've been sent it more than once about the job descriptions and the amount of time all of our principals and assistant principal and director of learning, all of the time and the things that they're doing. And I just see a lot of overlap. There's a lot of things that are on both things that it's just, to me, I think there are some things that can clearly be put in one place or another. And the way that I have read these, I don't see that.
Angela, I'll clear that up a little bit right now, is that Mr. Mulrain and I don't attend and run those same meetings. That's not overlap.
Right, but I see the discipline on there, and the way that the discipline is calculated for ours is the exact same on yours as it is for the assistant principal, as it is for Dr. Mettner. So you're all claiming the same hours for the discipline and investigating of issues and things like that that are happening. And so those are the kind of overlap pieces that I noticed on them.
And I would say that data point is extremely relevant, because if anything, that speaks to the need for somebody in that role.
I'm trying not to get too involved in your conversations, because I just want you to do the talking unless you have a question for me. But on this one, I do have to say that there are many times, more times than I can count, where it takes 2-3 administrators to work with one student in specific situations. And that might be, I don't know, Brian, if you can add to that, but that might be some of what you're seeing there.
Yeah, so it depends on the student, and it depends on the need of the student. And we base whether or not there needs to be more than one administrator based on the need of the student. More than times, when you see minutes that are calculated the same, Mr. Mulrain and I have to talk, and we have to confer about each discipline situation. He cannot be in charge of discipline, Angela, and then not share those things about me or with me about what's happening with the kids in the elementary school. So those are the same, because you can't have one complete silo that doesn't just deals with discipline and doesn't share that with the teachers as well as the other administrator. Because as much as discipline, it interferes with academics and everything else that happens in the building too. So.
I guess I would add just generally for the group on this topic, when we often run into discipline issues in the secondary, it is true. Tim and I will spend the same amount of time on a discipline issue. That's because we're often interviewing multiple students, collecting, conferring, splitting, dividing and conquering the task at hand. And we do often find ourselves in collaborating in that context to be able to gather information quickly and come to a decision quickly. We often will also split the minor disciplinary referrals that come in as they come. We'll take them, you know, when we can. So we would see a typical amount of hours that would be probably quite similar in the secondary for the assistant principal position and the principal position. Just because the volume and how that plays out when we look into, especially our discipline referrals that require investigations, we're talking about reviewing hours of video footage, interviewing students, calling parents, and we often divide some of those responsibilities to be able to accomplish things quickly. So I would say that is with the absence of an assistant principal. And the amount of scheduled meetings that the principals have, there is a challenge there, because kids come first. And if I've got a student situation that's an emergency, and I also have a student learning meeting after school, the students have to come first that way. And I think that this, you know, as we look at how that plays out, there's some challenges ahead of us if we are dividing that amongst four rather than five.
Maybe Dr. Mettner, and Mr. Annan too, but it might more pertain to you, Dr. Mettner, and the fact of our school resource officer when it comes to incidents. How does that play into the investigating pieces?
We don't often have, when we're investigating and doing student interviews, that's not something that we would ask our school resource officer necessarily to be doing in that context. I appreciate you bringing that up. I might defer to Mr. Mulrain to discuss kind of some of the more specifics of her tasks, but when we're investigating, it's often not divided up that way. I'm glad you brought that up, though. It's important for discussion. Mm-hmm.
It is very important to keep the role of the SRO officer away from school discipline as much as possible. That individual is not, doesn't have the same background. The SRO officer can help with more serious investigations, locker searches, drug and alcohol investigations, and things of that nature. The SRO officer also acts as a very good liaison between the school and the police department. And that informally, that is probably the best benefit that I've had working with our SRO officer is, now we can share information in a way that helps support kids, where we're not guessing so much as some of the things that are happening outside of the school. We have a better view of, a better understanding of what some of the background issues, the situations that students bring into the school building with them.
Yeah, our SRO would not be typically involved if we were investigating most discipline referrals, with the exception of, as Mr. Mulrain pointed out, drug, alcohol, other things where the fact that we would have access to an officer who is in the school and knows the kids is a great resource, and often he could prove very valuable, but not in the day-to-day discipline.
She is not a day-to-day discipline in the elementary school.
Is it not in her job description and her contract? She is not to be involved in student discipline administratively.
Correct. That's correct, Dr. Seifer.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate rejoining for a moment, Zoom. Something about this agenda item, I think. I missed some conversation, but are there any other comments or questions from board members with regard to this agenda item?
I would only reiterate what Mr. Weborg said at the beginning of commenting, which is that there seems to be a majority support from internal school members, employees who support the importance of this position in the functioning of day-to-day school business and the support of students. And while I don't mean to highlight that to diminish any of the outside community support, I do think that the people who are boots on the ground with the students on a day-to-day basis and their input about the value of this position should speak to us. And I value their input a great deal, and I think
you're it. Well, sure.
Some of you probably were not on the board when we did a little review on stipend pay for staff. And of course, the administration does not get stipend pay, but they accumulated their hours. And my memory might be a little off, but I believe our administrators were putting in 50 plus hours per week. And I sure don't want to make them put in any more hours.
Mrs. Van Meer, any chat on this item?
There is a lot of chat, and I appreciate Lauren's words about our internal staff. You're going to hear some chat from internal staff that have a different view than the letters that you wrote, but I guess I would just ask you to bear in mind that the letters you received were from staff that work pretty closely with that assistant principal role, so you might want to keep that in mind. So I have a lot to read. Can the board hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to just move over so I can read these. This might take me a while. Jody Hoyerman, please let's be conservative with hiring more staff during these times. Are there staff members attending this meeting tonight that feel we need to hire an AP at this time? Mike, the financial planning group talked about losses in revenue. We have hired at least 6 people in the last few months, and the discussion about not giving any sort of raise as it comes from the community. So I do not think we need to hire this position, and we now hire again for PD days. Devin Thomas, Can another administrator split those seats on the middle boards and multiple boards that are obviously very important? At the meeting, when Tim was prompted, it was asked if Tim would stay the safety person, and he said that he would. Oh, I'm sorry, that's from Mike. Britt Malpe, I would rather add a school counselor than an assistant principal. Mike, Britt, that would be a great addition to a middle school of adding sixth grade. Britt, I know that Chelsea Roberts is on overload. Another support person would work well, in my opinion. Kelsey Wittig, I agree with Britt. Marissa Norton, after listening to the financial planning meeting tonight, I'm surprised that this isn't being put on hold as well for now, given all of the unknowns for the upcoming school year. Karen Krause, Britt, that is a great idea. Mike, maybe not this year. Britt, I agree, Marissa, put on hold would be wise. Amanda's iPad. I called over a dozen school districts of our size and none had this number of admin. Amanda, yet students are still falling through the cracks emotionally and academically. Karen Krause, I agree with Marissa. Britt Malpe, interesting. Clayton Buski, in 2019, Gibraltar paid $537,000 in administration salaries. Sevastopol paid $422,000. Southern Door paid $502,000. Algoma paid $426,000. And Kewanee paid $415,000. Ours is significantly higher than the rest of the area, most of whom all have higher enrollments than us. This is a chance to bring our administrative costs down without letting go of anyone. We cannot continue spending at such a high rate. We have a community that has been very supportive with referendums. However, with COVID-19 bringing the economy to its knees, that is not a certainty by any means. We need to make the tough decisions now instead of letting staff go later when we can no longer afford it. Jody Hoyerman, we need to wait. This is too soon to hire now. We have talented, caring staff. Britt Malpe, thank you, Dr. Cipher. Amanda, filling the position is a poor decision after asking for a referendum and after the board recently tasking administration with budget savings. Clayton, amen, Amanda. Mike, EE for staff has been streamlined and shouldn't take as much time as stated. I'm not sure who this is. OB51HE, hiring new staff at this time is unwise. Amanda, Gibraltar functioned well in years past with less admin and more students. Mike, Gibraltar has a highly experienced staff that know the students. Kelsey Wittig, is it necessary that a decision made for the upcoming school year? And I agree with Amanda. Mike, all these meetings, but maybe you need to use the leadership and trust of your staff. Britt Malpe, so how do other schools function with less admin? Maybe we need to explore that. Amanda, exactly. I can tell you the breakdown of a dozen I called, the principals handle discipline. Clayton, according to the Journal Sentinel, we are the only school that currently employs a vice principal in Doran-Kewanee County. How are all the other schools able to manage, but we cannot? Mike, does our SRO officer play a part in discipline? Britt, good question. I believe she does. Amanda, Clayton, I didn't come across advice in all of my inquiries until I got to much larger districts. CJ, I agree, Dr. Cipher and Angela, take some time to see if duties can be reassigned before hiring. I agree with Britt. How are other schools with higher enrollments able to handle duties with less administration? Chelsea Wittig, I agree with Britt, Dr. Cipher, and Angela. How do other conference districts have vice assistant principals, but Gibraltar does, or they don't? Last one, Amanda, Lauren, there are more teachers than you know that are completely against this. And Chelsea Wittig, I meant not have. That's what I have for you.
Thank you, Mrs. Van Meer. It's difficult for us to deal with chat in the way in which it's presented, but yet it is a part and parcel of being a public meeting. Thank you for reading through those. Any other comments from board members on this discussion item?
I don't feel comfortable with us proceeding in this with this position without due to the circumstances right now of the world and the economy here and the unemployment rate and with the uncertainty of the future, not only the near future but down the road. I have to agree that I don't feel that we would be doing the prudent action to go ahead and to post this position right now without waiting to see what's going to develop coming down the road and coming up with some better decisions or input on allocation or reallocation of some of these responsibilities. I just don't feel that.
Have we moved to the next agenda item? We're still discussing the job description, not the posting of the position.
Well,
right.
Well, to that end, I would say that Dr. Seifer's original recommendation to the administration seems prudent when it comes to the description that it might be worthy of exploring how to reallocate those responsibilities and whether or not it's feasible.
I agree.
Well, I think that's the point I was trying to make, that until we do that, we shouldn't be posting a position until we've discussed the job description more, or we have a better idea of allocation of existing job responsibilities.
Any other comments? I appreciate the lengthy discussion on this. This is the kind of a conversation we are called upon to have. Let's move to the 12th agenda item, away from discussion to taking possible action on the job posting for K-12 assistant principal. This to take action would be to either approve the posting, table, postpone, other action regarding a posting.
Dr. Seifer, since it says take possible action, do we need to motion to a table if we choose to do so?
I think following to your question, take possible action, we don't have to do anything. I think, however, it doesn't give guidance to the administration necessarily, and does not respond to public with regard to what it is that we intend. Action might do those things. That's my perspective.
Then I would like to make a motion that we ask administration to look at reassigning the assistant principal duties to our current administrators.
I'd just like to add that I think at this point, when we don't even have a plan to reopen school, it's a little early to be hiring another administrator for a school year we don't know what it's going to look like. So I think that the first step before we do anything has to be, we have a plan to reopen, and then are we going to hire this position? We have an opportunity to not hire that position at this point without cutting staff. I think that's what we need to move forward that way.
And has the motion failed for lack of a second?
It stands yet unseconded.
I'll second Angela's motion.
We have a motion by Sherman, a second by Mr. Piatt to request the administration to reassign the job description for an assistant principal to the principal, to other administrators. Did I paraphrase that correctly?
Yes.
So just to double check, the motion is not to explore the assignment of those other duties to the current administrators. It's to actually do it. I just want to be clear on the language.
That would be my understanding.
Let's go back to Mrs. Sherman who made the motion.
I would be looking to reassign them at this time.
And I would have to say, I'd go along with Angela but I am also not opposed to looking at this once we have a school opening plan that allows us to open with a fully engaged school.
I believe that the motion would allow that. It would allow that for the time being we look at doing this. We can always bring this back and revisit at a future meeting. Would that be correct, Dr. Seifer?
Yes, because all you're asking for is a report on what that redistribution would look like. You're not asking for an inaction of these assignments, but
no.
The display.
My understanding was to make the assignments. That's
my understanding as well. So you're saying... Can you say that again, Dr. Seifer? Because that seems to be...
Yeah, different than what the motion was.
All right. Let me go back to the person who made the motion. Mrs. Sherman, are you asking the administration to make the assignment and make that assignment permanent?
Originally, yes. But when you say it the way you said it, Steve, yours sounds better than mine.
Rescind the motion.
A temporary reassignment.
I would like to revise. Can I rescind and then revise?
Yes, please rescind the motion.
Okay, I rescind the motion.
Thank you.
I will make my new motion more clearly to be what I think is a consensus, even of my second there, if he will so oblige me again. The motion then would be that we advise our administrative team to explore the reassigning of the current assistant principal job duties to our current administrative team.
I'll go along with that.
We have a motion by Mrs. Sherman, a second by Mr. Piatt to advise the administration to explore the reassignment of the K-12 assistant job principal job description to the administrative team. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 The opposed?
Aye. Opposed.
Thank
aye.
You. Aye. I hear two. Pardon me, Mr. Piatt?
I was an aye.
An aye on the opposition.
I was an aye on the opposition.
Yes, right. I have. We're going to ask for a roll call on this, as I did not hear clearly how many ayes were in favor. Mrs. Bremer, how do you vote?
I vote aye in favor of the motion.
Mr. Helm?
Aye in favor of the motion.
Mrs. Hickey?
I vote no, I'm not in favor of the motion.
Thank you. Mr. Piatt?
I am in favor of the motion.
In favor of the motion.
In favor of the motion.
Thank you. Mrs. Sherman?
Aye in favor of the motion.
Mr. Weborg?
Nay.
Thank you. And I am voting aye. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ayes and 2 nays. The motion passes to advise the administration to explore the reassignment. To interpret that again, that's an exploration, and we're looking forward to a report back from the administration on this exploration. I thank the board for their work on this agenda item. Item number 13, is there a question?
I guess I misunderstood again, exploration instead of review and assign. I didn't hear exploration in the motion.
Yes, the motion was for them to, I didn't say explore, I said something else, but that was the intent, yes, was for them to look at doing that.
Right, and I feel that I feel like I can vote for that motion because this is an exploration. It's due diligence of our financial obligation to reallocate those funds, but exploration only, not an actual reassignment.
Thank you. Item number 13 on this evening's agenda is to hear first reading of proposed amendments to the following board policies. Mrs. Sherman.
I will not go over all of these in great detail as you have been able to read through them, but I did want to just draw your attention to two of them. Policy 6510.01, employee compensation during unexpected and extraordinary circumstances. You may remember we recently passed a guideline for this. We wanted to do that to make sure any bills that we, or any submissions that we made for our funding, we're able to be done with that in place, as noted in our school, but we wanted to really put it in policy so we have that firm backing for anything that we might need as far as getting those funding during this time or any time that we might experience in the future. The other one that I just wanted to let you know is a new policy, is policy 6630, cash handling and deposits. So that is a new one on the books, and that does align with our current practice and what we feel will be best practice for cash handling. And this will go for anything within school funds, from sports events, activities, plays, all of that. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer them now, or you can always email me and I'm happy to take any questions or comments.
Any questions at this time? Hearing none, we recognize this as a first reading of these proposed amendments. We look forward to seeing them on a subsequent agenda. The 14th item on our agenda this evening is to set the dates and time for summer retreat.
Yeah, so our summer retreats have typically been in August. The last year's summer retreat was the week of August 7th. I think it was Thursday, August 7th. This year, I envision we will be spending a great deal of time discussing the implementation of the three policies that were just passed by the board, because that involves professional development, evaluation, as well as course guides. So that's going to be, we'll be talking through the implementation of all those pieces and all the tools that we'll be creating to implement that. So that'll be a part of it. And you know, we're going to have to be talking about the reopening of school, and hopefully we would have a plan by then. Actually, no, that's, we would have to have a plan earlier than that, but we could kind of maybe have a reopening meeting as a board too earlier. I don't know. I'm opening it up to the board. I just know it's going to be difficult. The board summer retreats are quite extensively time-consuming pieces to put together. It's important work, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot that we put together for our board so that they can see the visions of where we're headed and how it fits in with the goals that you have as a board. And it's not, you know, just a simple, easy retreat to be doing. And so we need time to plan for that part. Obviously, I know you're going to want to have time to make sure we're planning for the reopening of school as well. So, and I assume that that would be part of this. So I'm going to open it up to the board to see what their thoughts are on when to schedule it.
Any suggestions?
You know, are we going to have good enough data from remote learning to have good conversation on?
The retreat's going to look a little different, Mark. Instead of using that, we're going to be talking about the policies that you recently passed, which would be this year's implementation policy, and how we're going to go about doing it. And part of that is collecting student data. But that's moving forward into this next school year, how we will be collecting data, what that will look like, and how we will be applying that to evaluations. So that will be a big piece, but we don't need to use last year's. And you're right, we won't have as much information on how did we do this year, because we won't have those end of year assessments. We can look, you know, beginning of the year, middle of the year, and see what the how were we progressing, but we're not going to have that end point like we normally do. So yes.
Okay, thank you.
So if we're not waiting for data to come in, Is it possible we could do the retreat sometime in July so that we have enough lead time to go into potentially our fall sports seasons as well as school reopening?
I'm just going to be real honest. The administrative team has been working really hard through the pandemic trying to keep our school running. And so we haven't had the kind of time that we would normally have to start planning for a summer retreat. And, you know, we just finished graduation, so that's good. And now we're going to be moving into discussions on how we're going to reopen the school. What is that going to mean as for campus maintenance? How do we need to get the building ready? What does that mean for financial planning? How are we going to budget for the things that we need to budget? And in general, how are we going to follow the CDC recommendations on reopening the schools should the board want to come back in person? So that's going to take a lot of planning and time on our part as well. But also before the pandemic, we, the admin team, was meeting weekly to start working on the implementation of the three policies that I keep referring to. There's a lot of work that needs to go into implementing those policies, and it's going to take a great deal of time as well as development of tools to do that. And we're not ready to present that to the board right now, and we're going to need some time to try to put all that together. Unless the board wants to have two separate meetings, I just think it's going to be very difficult for the admin to be able to pull that all together for you in July.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
No, I didn't ask the question so you could tell me something else.
Yeah.
Without being too much of a wiseacre, a board retreat this summer should probably be unlike any other board retreat we've had in the past. And it may be that instead of going over lots of data, that the administration and the board sit prospectively to mutually talk about what does reopening look like, to be a sounding board to the administration on your plans for reopening, provide our own insights into that, and try not to tackle more than we should at this very unusual summer break.
I agree with you,
I understand.
Steve. I think that the real issue is going to be how do we look in the fall rather than how did we look at the end of last year? This has got to be we have to be forward looking. So preparing plans of what happened at the end of last year, that's water over the dam.
No, that's not what this is for. You approved three policies
right.
that we have to implement next year moving forward. And they are quite extensive policies that will require a lot of work. And they will require the board to be on those discussions and to approve them, especially because they're policy, and it's K-12. And so I don't, when will we discuss those? Because we need to have a plan moving forward for how we're going to implement those policies.
Then, Mrs. Van Meer, would you be saying that in order for the administration to implement those policies, a board meeting should be dedicated to the review of those policies and their implementation?
Yes, I would like the board to see the process we're going to be using and the tools that we're going to be collecting, and I would like their approval on using those tools because we're going to be requiring the staff to do it, and if we're requiring the staff, it's really important that the board approves them as well.
Okay. Would you be amenable to, instead of having one fairly full day, as we have in the past, of having two shorter sessions, one earlier in the summer, as Mike has indicated in July, to be prospective looking at the opening of school, and one later in August, half shorter period meeting,
yes,
to talk about these policies?
Yes, yeah.
Would that allow you to achieve both goals?
Yes, it would allow us to concentrate. Both of these are very lengthy planning documents that we're going to be putting together, so I think it would be helpful to split that. Allow us to have some time in July to put the reopening plan together, and then allow us to have some time in August, end of July, August, to try to put together how we're going to implement those policies.
And let me further complicate this by asking, do we think that the CDC and the various health departments will have any decent recommendations by mid to late July?
We do have recommendations from the CDC. We're also going to have recommendations at the state level. There's a committee that's working on those. I'm hoping that those are going to come out really soon. And then from those recommendations, the admin will try to script out something that follows those that we could possibly implement for the board to take.
The CDC guidelines have changed fairly rapidly over the last several weeks for everybody.
Yeah.
And my question is the ones I've seen, I don't think we could open at all.
We'll be looking at regional decisions and local decisions.
Yeah.
Other board members, comments about how to develop this board retreat or board retreats and dates?
Let me just comment, as long as I've got the floor here for a little bit. I like the idea of two dates, one for reopening and one for policy review. I think that's a great way to tackle that.
Would it be advisable to shorten agenda items on our regular board meetings to only ones that we really, really need to talk about and use that time for the reopening of school agendas? You got to remember, all of us have gone through the pandemic as well. And this needs some away time.
You have two positives there, Mark. One is to shorten agendas. That's positive. And the other is to use that shortened time to give frequent updates on thinking and plans and the most recent facts about reopening.
Right.
Other board members.
I just worry that trying to do snippets of that discussion isn't going to be a benefit. I think, as we saw tonight with one of our agenda items, when we're talking about big items like this, when we each want to speak, we're speaking for a few minutes at a time, and then we keep going around doing that. And I worry trying to squeeze that kind of decision-making into our time during our board meetings is not going to do it the justice that it needs. I am not opposed to having two retreats or to have some special meetings that just talk about the reopening. I think it's a big topic, and I think that it's going to require a lot of back and forth discussion and ideas being put out, and can this work? Won't it work? Oh, that's to the back burner. What about this? I think we're going to have a lot of things to siphon through information wise to start making those decisions and outline what our scenarios for opening might look like.
Does anybody dare point to a calendar?
Did pull mine up, but
I had one open, but it went to sleep.
Thank you. Mr. Van Meer, if we had two meetings, what are optimal times for the administration?
I think trying to stick to Mondays seemed to be a good plan. So I don't know, do you want to have a retreat the week before a board meeting? In between, or you could do it in between July 13th and July 27th, so maybe July 20th.
Which topic on the 20th?
Reopening, would that be the appropriate?
Thank you.
I don't think we'll be ready for the other one yet.
Very good. And if we did an abbreviated or a single topic meeting on the 20th, when would you be ready to talk about policy implementation for another single topic meeting?
I think if you could give us a couple weeks, I mean, we're heading into August. It's a really busy, obviously busy time. We're doing lots of trainings, so the admin will be kind of all over the place, but if you could at least give us a couple weeks, And maybe look at the week of August 10th.
Okay, would you want to be on a Monday again as the first meeting?
Yeah, because your board meeting would be August 3rd. So,
no.
You have an extra Monday. Oh, wait, I'm looking at the wrong
The board meeting would be the 10th.
10th and 24th.
I would prefer not to be on the 10th, please.
Yeah,
I have a conflict on the 10th as well.
Can we look at the 17th, or is that too close to a big PD on the 24th through the 27th?
The week of Orton-Gillingham training.
How about August 3rd? July 20th and August 3rd, can we pencil?
Or is the 3rd too soon and
well,
just do it
only
later?
It only gives us a week, so.
I was going to say, if you did it later in that week, would that be better?
Okay. Brian, Orton-Gillingham's in what week?
Week of August 17th through the 21st. District registration is August 11th and 12th. PD training for elementary math teacher or all teachers is August 4th and 5th.
Could we go on the 13th of August?
That'd be a great way to celebrate my birthday.
Aww.
My birthday as well. Yeah.
Wow, it's a must.
Oh. Yeah, all there's ice cream.
What day are we talking about?
July 20th and August 13th. Not hearing any conversation, let's pencil those dates. And if conflicts arise, we'll have a conversation about amending.
Do we have a time, Dr. Zeifer?
For this is Van Meer.
So you're going to do half days? Do you want to go in the, would the board prefer the mornings?
Yep.
I would prefer mornings, personally.
I would too.
Mornings, I would say if we're doing half days, I would like us to start at 8 o'clock so we have a full 4 hours. Because I know once you start discussing reopening school, that's gonna be quite the discussion.
I was gonna say the school reopening one. I don't know that I'd cap at 4 hours.
Yeah, we'll cap it at lunch. Let's go with 8 o'clock on the 20th and 8 o'clock on the 13th, and see how we can live with those.
Sure, make me get up on my birthday. What do you think? I'm getting younger.
It's time for the next agenda item.
You are.
Hey, you're not the only one that has to get up on their birthday that day.
The 15th item is to approve payment of bills.
I so move.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Hickey. I thought I heard. Second by Mr. Weborg to approve the payment of bills as posted. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The opposed? The bills will be paid. Last item is to accept donations.
There are no donations at this time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Piatt?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion, a second to adjourn. We are adjourned.
Thank you
all
for
a very healthy meeting this evening.
Take care.
Thank you.